Hello friends, now that we have looked at all the regulatory features, that is the custom clearance procedures of the import-export cargo, we have completed on that score. Now we have got to look at the actual physical movement of cargo from point A to point B. That is from the seller to the buyer in two different countries. So we will have to look at the transportation of the goods, that is physical movement of the goods. And as of today, the actual physical movement of the goods is involving a lot of different kinds of transportation, different methods of transportations, combinedly called as multimodal transportation. So we are looking at chapter number 13 of Import-Export Management Regulatory Features, and we will look at all the aspects of multimodal transportation. What is multimodal transportation? What is multiple movement of goods? And what are the regulatory features involved in such kind of movement of the goods? As far as our country, India, is concerned, for we are not talking about all import and export cargo. Okay? Now, when we look at movement of the goods, here we have got three types of movement of the goods. The first one is the coastal goods. That means movement of goods from one domestic port or airport in India to another domestic port or airport in India itself. That means it's a total local transportation. But as far as movement of the goods are concerned, the local transportation involves movement of goods through an international territory also. Like if the goods are required to be moved by a vessel from Nhava Sheva to maybe Haldia port in Kolkata by a sea-going vessel, then it is passing through the Sri Lanka waters, Colombo area, Sri Lanka waters, which are all international areas. Again, when goods are moving from Kolkata and West Bengal to Assam and other states in that particular area, it is now being allowed to pass right through Bangladesh. In the past, goods were required to move right from North Bengal through that Chicken's Neck, a small area between two different countries. We were having a small area. So entire routing. But today, with an agreement with Bangladesh, we are able to transport the goods directly from Kolkata to any city in Assam. Thereby, we are saving a distance of 1,000 kilometers. That movement and this direct movement, 1,000 kilometers are being saved. Here again, the goods are of Indian origin, passing through an international territory, but from one Indian port, airport, or one Indian city to another Indian city. This is all coastal goods. Next, we have got transit of goods. Now, transit goods basically means that goods arriving in a foreign going vessel or aircraft from one country other than India, going to another country other than India, but touching an Indian port for unloading cargo in India also. That means, let's take an example that goods have been loaded at Rotterdam in Europe, and that particular vessel has got cargo meant for being unloaded in India. But it has also got containers, cargo, meant to be unloaded at, say, Singapore. So first it will come to India and then unload the cargo meant for India, and the Singapore cargo would be taken in that same vessel to Singapore. That means the Singapore cargo from Rotterdam to Singapore, those are meant goods as in transit. We have no say in those goods. The same vessel, same cargo is being transited in that same mode. So that is known as transit of goods. Next, on the same lines, we have got transshipment of goods. Now, transshipment of goods involves that goods coming to any Indian port or airport, being unloaded in our country, but actually meant for a different country. For example, goods coming to Haldia port in Calcutta, unloaded at Calcutta, but goods have got to go to Nepal or Bhutan or Sikkim. So those types of goods are actually known as transshipment of goods. Again, nowadays you have got a gateway port, which are large ports or airports, and you have got ICD, CFS and air freight stations. And therefore, the containerized cargo moves from the gateway port, which is a custom station, directly to another interior custom stations, that is the ICD, CFS or AFS or dry port. Now, here the movement again is the goods container will move. It will not be cleared at the gateway port. No custom clearance would be done at the gateway port. Custom clearance would be done at the respective ICD CFS where the goods are required to be taken delivery of. Now, here, this becomes a transshipment. That means a shipment from one kind of a vessel to another kind of vessel, and movement would be from one custom station to another custom station. So these are the two different types for transshipment purposes. Now we have seen the three different modes of movement of the goods as far as India is concerned. When we talk about shipping only, the word shipping has got different meaning for different purposes. The first thing that will come to your mind is a ship. Okay, that's fine. That is actually the correct meaning. But if you talk to an exporter, he will say, I'm shipping the goods. Now, that may not mean that he is sending the goods via a ship. It can also mean that he's sending the goods by air. So there again, it has got a double meaning. And therefore, basically, it can be a physical process of transporting cargo by land, air, or sea. First, it may denote a noun, a ship. There, it may be a process of transportation. It can also describe the movement of objects by ship, any object. And land shipping can be by train or by truck. In air and sea shipments, the ground transportation is often still required to take the product from its origin, that is the original factory or warehouse or a gateway port or airport, or vice versa. Ground transportation is typically more affordable than air shipments. Why? Because the rate freights are very high for air and low for ground. The expenditure part makes a big difference. But again, if the same goods you send by sea, the freights are still lower. If we want to look at only the freight angle, the lowest freight component would be on the goods if it is being moved by any sea movement or river movement, by a ship, whether a small ship or a large ship. A sea movement or river movement of cargo is the cheapest form of movement of cargo. Then rail movement is the second cheapest. Next, you get into the road movement, that is truck transportation. And highest is air shipment. Freight is highest as far as air cargo is concerned. As far as such movements, there are two situations always going side by side. Number one, transportation of the goods, and number two, the communication aspect. That is the tracking of the goods while in movement. So transportation and communication, they will move side by side. And this plays a very important and crucial role as far as our international trade is concerned. Land transport plays an important role in internal transportation. Roads and railways as a means of transport have got great importance in today's industrial age. To give you a typical example over here, you know, in India, we are having a full train load of goods moving from a place in India, and the train moves directly up to a foreign area, that is the Bangladesh. Now, Bangladesh people like rice, they eat more of rice. And for them, the best quality of rice is available in Andhra Pradesh. So they prefer to have that Andhra rice, especially the parboiled rice. And therefore, we are exporting full train loads where there are at least 40 to 60 to 80 box wagons connected to a railway engine. It is moving from any city in Andhra Pradesh or Telangana, and the goods will go directly to a Bangladesh city, whether it's Dhaka, whether it's Chittagong, any other internal area. The train moves directly with the export cargo. That is the importance of rail movement of international trade goods. Both, of course, are interdependent on each other and can help each other. That means any movement of goods today needs a dual mode of transportation, and that is where it has got the word multimodal. Road transport will assume greater importance, especially in hilly areas where you don't have either rail movement or you don't have the other forms of movement. There, the best form of movement, of course, is the road transport. Railways will try to give more facilities in the public areas, especially cities and towns connected by the railways. Their movement of goods are also very fast. They are very useful for carrying especially heavy goods and are comparatively very cheap. And thereby, as a part of the multimodal transportation, railways are more preferable for long distance movements of goods or bulk movement of goods or heavy cargo movement of goods. If you look at the entire transportation system, the transport system helps to raise the production of raw materials, fuels, machineries, etc. by providing larger markets to it. Look at the situation. Normally, we have got a large quantum of mined goods in Odisha, and they have got to be moved to different factories anywhere in India. And that is where the transportation system comes into play. If we would not have had the transportation system, then the mined goods would have become useless in that particular state. It could not be used to a large extent. Plus, the cities lying in other parts of India would not be getting the benefit of that respective end product using that raw material. Industries or firms, they get advantages of large-scale production due to selling of commodities in an extensive manner in large areas. You are getting medicines over here where they are being produced either in some place at Himachal Pradesh or some place at Goa. You are getting any types of food items from one city to another city. For example, rice production in Telangana, Andhra Pradesh, Bangladesh, they are moving to our area also. And wheat production is more in, let's say, North India. It is moving to South also. So that is where the consumers are benefited because of this transport system. And therefore, a developed transport system reduces the regional industrial disparity by facilitating the establishment of industries in backward areas, number one, and it also solves the needs of industries by utilizing their products. That means backward areas, they can get raw material from other places, and when the manufacturing process is completed, the end product, the consumer product, can be sent to different cities in India. Different types of machineries, raw materials, they're all supplied through either road, ships, motors, buses, trains, and aeroplanes to various industries. Industries, when they need any item, they can use any of these modes of transportation system. And transport system helps to solve the problem of unemployment also, especially in rural areas, by sending surplus laborers to the industries. You know, when India got independence in 1947, 90% of the people were living in rural areas, employed only for agriculture. Today, many of those people have migrated to various cities, gone to industrial jobs. Net result being that hardly 60% of the people are still in rural areas and looking after agriculture. Latest information that I am getting that India may have only 40% as farm laborers. Yes, we have increased our per acreage of farm products also, but there's a movement of labor due to this particular reason and due to the efficient transport system that we have over here in India. As far as bulk cargo is concerned, bulk cargo transportation can be handled roughly because of the uniformity of the product. You look at an item like iron, steel, or coal raw material. it doesn't require careful handling at all. Bulk movement by even conveyor belt system, it can be moved. Why? Because they are rough, required to go to the respective factories for being converted into certain end products. Mechanical handling can allow enormous quantities to be handled quickly and efficiently. All movement of coal, even when it is to be loaded on board a ship, is done by mechanical means, conveyor belt system. Unloading of pulses, if they are imported, sometimes they are coming in a full shipload also. And there the unloading process is done mechanically by a conveyor belt system. That conveyor belt removes the goods from the ship's hold and directly on to the wharf of that particular port. And at the wharf, packing is done in various forms by laborers. So that is a faster movement of handling such bulk goods. This is more so for low value of cargo, which is combined with high volumes. And this means that economies of scale become essential in transport. Cargo has got to be low value. You can't have items like gold and silver and other jewelry formed by this rough handling, etc. Cargo should be low value cargo. So therefore, the transaction cost has got to be to the basic minimum level. And there should always be high volumes of movement. Then only such method is feasible. Today, we have gigantic ships and whole trains are commonly used to transport bulk cargo. If I give you some examples, you know the oil movement with from the Gulf countries to our Indian port. You know what is the area of that particular ship? It can carry 1 lakh tons of crude oil, and the ship actually is as big as a small town in India. They cannot touch any port in India directly. They are made to stand at least about 10 to 15 kilometers away, where the depth of the sea is more, because it is more deep. It is going down into the water to a greater extent because of the huge volume of cargo. And then from that particular point, in about 10 to 12 or 15 kilometers away from the land frontier, the oil is transferred by pipes. There are pipes fitted. Biggest example over here is in Gujarat. The Vadinar port in Gujarat is handling such type of goods. Here, even in New Bombay, you have got a small port area where such transportation, such unloading of cargo, crude oil, takes place. Liquid products with sufficient volume may also be transported by pipeline. Yes, we have got pipeline systems. And today, the pipeline system is moving most of the crude oil from one country to another country. Are you aware that this Ukraine-Russia war is a product of this pipeline movement of bulk energy movement? That is bulk oil for energy movement. Russian oil is moving to European countries through Ukraine. And Ukraine, by allowing the pipeline to be laid in their country, is given a certain percentage as royalty. And that movement, their dispute has arisen between Russia and Ukraine. And that is one of the major results of the war. It is going on since 2014 onwards, but escalated into a war very recently. That is the bulk movement of liquid through a pipeline. We in India, giving you some examples so that you will understand the importance of this type of movement. We need a large quantum of oil we are importing from Iran, because Iran is selling it to us on good terms of business. We are wanting to lay a pipeline between Iran and India. Both of us are in agreement to lay the pipeline and get the goods through the pipeline. But that pipeline is passing via Pakistan. Now, the question comes up that Pakistan government is not guaranteeing the safety of the movement of the crude oil from Iran to India. And the doubt always is that there may be pilferages by any person, any organization in Pakistan. Question comes up, who would be responsible for that? Pakistan is not agreeable to take security aspects as far as such movement is concerned. Though they are being given royalty on this account, still they are not able to provide security, and that is why we are not able to do it. But as far as India as a whole is concerned, we have a very regular type of pipeline for movement of not only crude oil, but any types of gas or any types of energy through the pipeline. Number one, from the gateway ports or even from mid-sea, there's a pipeline, and these pipelines for bulk cargo movements are created and looked after by Gas Authority of India. GAIL have built such pipelines and are looking after the pipelines. That is to move the crude oil to the refineries, all the respective refineries, number one aspect. But today you will find that many households are getting direct pipeline gas. Compressed natural gas is coming to your residence. That is through a pipeline. You need not have containers like in the past we were having containers. We have got piped gas coming into our residences. Now, transportation is also a key necessity for specialization, allowing production and consumption of products to occur at different locations. Production, different level, different place. Consumption, different level, different stage. This is the beauty of the entire transport system. This is the importance of the entire transport system. When we look at the different modes of transportation, yes, we are talking about multimodal transportation, but there are different forms of transportation. The first system which comes up is the sea transport. And here, the crucial point over here is the containerization, which has changed the entire concept of the sea transport movement. In the past, we had container ships which used to carry about 1,000 or 1,500 to 2,000 containers in one go. But today we have got VLCCs, very large container carriers, which can carry 4,000 to 6,000 containers in one go. And therefore, we have a standardized container movement for shipping of the cargo. These are all ISO standardized containers for all types of vehicles, and it is applicable for movement at all ports. This has totally revolutionized the international and domestic trade both, because they are offering huge reduction in the transshipment cost. Look at the situation. You unload the cargo, smaller quantities, put it in another truck, there's different types of labor involved. Here the full container, maybe having at least 25 tons of cargo, removed from the ship, put it on a truck. It's as simple as that, very fast. So the transportation costs are minimized. Automated handling and transfer between different modes, they allow for gains in economy of scales in vehicle operations, all vehicle operations. If you look at sea transportation, what was happening in the previous, you go to back to 15, 20 years, there a ship coming to any port used to take at least 15 to 20 days, maybe even a month for unloading the cargo. The waiting period for the ship was 15, 20 days. But today that same turnaround of ship, handling more cargo than what it was handling before, turnaround is hardly 12 hours to 24 hours. The largest ship unloading the largest quantum, unloading and loading export cargo, turnaround is maximum is 48 hours, not more than 48 hours. Normal handling turnaround is 12 to 24 hours for unloading import cargo and loading export cargo. That is the benefit being given on account the scale of operations as far as containerized cargo is concerned. Next in importance we have got, of course, I'm looking at the whole thing from the international trade angle. Okay, importance from this angle, not our domestic trade angle. Domestic trade, the importance is totally different. And international trade, first importance is sea transport. Are you aware that more than 90% of the international trade is carried on through this sea transportation? In terms of volume, not in terms of value. Next in importance is air transportation. And today this has become more common, especially for products of high value, including gem and jewelry, vital medicines, critical spare parts, most of the perishable items, electronics, fashion clothing. These are all high value items which can absorb the freight, higher freight amount. And they are all shipped by air. Why? Because time has become more important in regard to just in time within the value chain, supply chain movement. And this is resulting in high willingness to pay for quick delivery of especially key components of items of high value to weight ratio. The ratio has got to be value to weight ratio. The main situation over here is that high value cargo, if it is sent by sea, that means that particular quantum of finance is blocked for a higher period. Whereas if the same item moves by air, so the financial blockage for that item is minimized. Turnaround, financial turnaround is faster, thereby reducing the transaction cost, reducing the interest cost as far as the goods are concerned, as far as movement of the goods are concerned. And that is where the difference lies between sea transportation and air transportation. Next, we have got the road transportation. Now, road transportation has got totally different types of problems arising and methodologies. Why? Because development of road facilities will lead to utilization of natural resources lying unutilized in different hilly regions mountains, forests, and also distant mines. And therefore, for road transportation, the most important factor is development of the road facilities, infrastructure development. And this development helps to send raw material, fuel, machineries to different industries at the right time, and this helps to run the particular industry. Shipment of freight by trucks. They can move directly from the shipper to the destination. Why? Because today more and more industry is asking for door-to-door shipment of goods. Desk-to-desk or door-to-door has gained popularity today. Vans, trucks, they make deliveries to seaports, airports, where ultimately the freight is moved in bulk quantities. And that is where the road transportation comes into play at all times. Trucking is very frequently used to connect the line haul, that is inland haulage, especially as far as ocean going vessels are concerned, or between ocean going vessels and the railheads. And this is a very important segment as far as global international freight movement is concerned. Yes, from interior ICD CFS, the goods can come by rail to an gateway port. But from that railhead, again, the container has got to be put on a truck to go before the ship side for being loaded on the ship. So, road transportation trucking gains importance over there also. And for these purposes, there are specialized trucking that runs between ocean ports, rail terminals, and inland shipping docks, etc. This is actually called a drayage of movement of international cargo, and is typically provided by dedicated drayage companies or by the railroads. They are all dedicated movement, of course, a combination of rail and road transportation. You know, in India, we have got one company which was started by the Railway Ministry, that is CONCOR, Container Corporation of India, who handle both type. This company was created and it is being operated by the Railway Ministry. Thank you.